This evening we are blessed with the presence of Reverend Deacon Philip Matthew. Samashin is a member of St. Mary's Orthodox Church in Bronx, New York. And at this time, I invite Samashin to lead us in the devotional message for this evening.
Thank you. Let us pray. Barakmore, grant us, O Lord God, the knowledge of your divine words, and fill us with the understanding of your holy gospel, the richness of your divine gifts and the endowments of your Holy Spirit. And grant us that with joy we may keep your commandments, perform and fulfill your will, and become worthy of your blessings and mercies which are from you, our Lord and our God, now and always and forever and ever. Amen. May I invite you all to turn to the Gospel according to St. Matthew chapter 24, verses 29 through 31. But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. Reverend Fathers, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in the last few weeks, we've been considering the theme of Transfiguration. In the Church, we celebrate the Feast of the Transfiguration of Christ on August the 6th. And in the days following, we've had the opportunity to examine, to consider, to reflect on what Transfiguration means in the life of Christ and in the life of the Christian. And one of the things that we know about the Transfiguration was that it wasn't an end in itself. The Transfiguration event was a stepping stone, a step along the way towards a greater goal. The tradition of the Church teaches us that the disciples who were on the Mount of Transfiguration saw the glory of the Lord to the extent that they could bear it, to the extent that they could handle it. And that was for them a preparation, so that when they saw him on the cross, when they saw the sufferings and the humiliation of the cross, they would remember that there was more to it than simply the humiliation and the suffering and the death. They would remember the glory of the Lord that they saw as far as they could see, as far as they could handle it. And they would remember that this was not the end. So we know that the glory of the Transfiguration, the goodness of God that shone on the face of Christ, that shone from within him, was something to help us when we see the suffering and the pain and the humiliation. And this pattern holds true in a lot of ways. It holds true in our lives in manifold ways. It holds true also in our liturgical tradition, because 40 days after the Feast of Transfiguration is the Feast of the Cross. And it's with that in mind that I picked the Gospel that I read this evening. The chapter that we read from in St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, deals with the end times. First, we learn about the signs of Christ's return, the things that would have to happen. We hear a description from the Lord of that time and what it would be and how dangerous it would be, how scary it would be. And then the passage that we read today talks about the immediate sign of the return of Christ, the sign of the Son of Man that shines in the heavens, followed by his coming on the clouds of heaven. And from this point, from the point that we just read, it goes into the parable of the fig tree, and it describes how we should prepare ourselves, in what way we should be ready for these things. So we have a movement from what's going to happen before to its climax, and then finally how it is that we can prepare for that. And this pivots, this revolves in a sense around the sign of the Son of Man. And in the tradition of the Church, in the tradition of the Church Fathers, all the Fathers are unanimous in saying that the sign of the Son of Man that will appear in the sky is the sign of the cross, because we do not know Christ as the Son of Man until he's enthroned, until he's lifted up on the cross. It was this vision of Christ on the cross, that the Transfiguration was supposed to warn us about. And we know that the cross itself is not the end, because it's followed only 3 days later by the resurrection. And the resurrection is the promise of which the Transfiguration was the sign and the hope. This holds true for us in a lot of aspects in our life, but today, as our nation and the world remembers the 11th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks, I want to remind you of the discovery that came a couple of days later. On September 13th, one of the rescue workers happened to turn a corner somewhere in the rubble, and he found two steel beams that were fused together in the shape of a cross. And this moved him, and it moved a lot of other people that came there. In a sense, it's really nothing. It's just two steel beams. Many more beams were there in that building like that, and there's no reason why those two beams should be special. But what was special about it was that it was found standing. And for those who had the eyes to see, there was hope. Because in the events of only 2 days before, people who were living in that, people who were watching that, thought in a very particular way that this might be the end of the world. And in a sense it was. It was the end of one way of living, and it was the beginning of a new reality. They saw the towers fall. They saw planes coming out of the sky and attacking buildings. People jumping out of buildings because it was better than being burned. They saw life as they knew it stop to come to a grinding halt, and everything had changed. No one could go to sleep that evening, on an evening like tonight, and believe that things would ever be the same. And yet, the finding of that cross, just as the finding of the cross of Christ that occurred in the 6th century, in the 7th century, was a sign of hope for those who had the ability to see it that way. It wasn't simply the finding of a piece of wood or the finding of some steel beams, but it was what it signified. It signified that no matter what evil happens in the world, no matter what evil happens in our lives, no matter how badly it's ruined for us, or how badly we ruin it, that our sin, others' sin, evil, does not have the final say. That somehow within that is the power of God to transform and to renew and to resurrect. And that's not easy to believe. Only someone with the eyes to see can believe that. And I can tell you very frankly that I don't always see that way. For us who believe, or who say that we believe, it's often a trial of faith. It's often something that requires a lot of effort. It's often something that the darkness and the smoke and the flames and the fumes of life prevent us from seeing. And frequently all we are capable of doing is struggling. We feel like we want to give up, but all we are capable of, all we're called to do is struggle. In the Old Testament, the patriarch Jacob struggled with an angel all night, and the angel told him to let go, and he said, "I'm not letting go until you bless me." And for the whole night, Jacob had to struggle with the angel, and finally the angel rewarded him with the blessing, and he realized that it was God himself that he was struggling with. In the book of Exodus, we read that when Moses went up to receive the Ten Commandments, he approached the thick darkness where God was. Contrary to what we assume, it's not that God lives necessarily in light and in glory, he can also be in the darkness, the thick darkness. And that's a struggle that we have to wrestle with. That's a test of faith that we have to live through. And yet we know, we are told, and we can have faith, we can have trust if we want, if we struggle. We can believe that the power of Christ, the power of the cross, exists even in that thick darkness, even in that pain, even in that confusion, even in that misery, when we can't see it. It may be something as simple as two steel beams that show up on their own, that remind us of the four winds from which God will bring forth his people. And it reminds us that wherever we go, the structure of the world, the structure of our buildings, the structure of society, the way that the world operates, the way that the world is ordered, the way that everything around us is arranged and organized, it's all around the cross. The cross is everywhere if we want to see it, if we have the eyes to see it. And the cross allows us the ability to understand that death, evil, sin, our own incompetence and stupidity, none of these things have the final say. That it's not simply about transfiguration, it's not simply about the glory, but it's about the glory that comes through the struggle. And that the struggle itself is worth having, is worth fighting for, is worth fighting through. And that these things, when patiently endured, bear fruit in the resurrection that occurs within our lives, within our world. And as we close off another day, and as we pray for the beginning of a new one, let us leave tonight praying for the grace to see, for the eyes of faith to be able to see in life's joys and in life's struggles, both the resurrection and the cross. Both the cross and the resurrection. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen. And let us pray. Unto our Lord Jesus Christ be glory, thanks, and blessings for his living words to us, unto his Father who sent him for our salvation, and to his living and life-giving Holy Spirit, now and always and forever and ever. Amen.